Good morning. Welcome back. I am so glad that you've chosen to join us as we continue our study on stewardship and God's call upon all of us as we manage all that He's been given. I mean, can we give thanks that we've got folks like our worship team that steward what they've been given, and they do it not for their own glory, but they do it to His glory. And we're just thankful that they bring us along with them as they're worshiping God. Now, I hope the first 2 weeks of our study have challenged you, that they've caused you to take some time for self-evaluation, to look at how are we establishing, how are we stacking up our priorities, to seek to put God in first place in all that we do. And then, did you come out of last week looking at things and going, how am I using my time? Because it's not about seeking how to make our days more efficient. It's about taking every moment that we have, as limited as they are, to make sure that we are effective in searching Him. Am I using my time well? Am I asking God that when it's hard, that He's going to make me glad in that time? Is He going to show me His work in how I use my time? Is He going to confirm the work that I'm doing with the limited time that I have? Well, today we're going to start exploring stewarding God's gifts by maximizing the use of what He's given us for the benefit of others and for the glory of the only one worthy of that glory. Now, I'm not talking about the gifts that we get at a birthday or the gifts that we get at Christmas and how am I going to use those? Am I going to share my new Nintendo Switch with my brothers and sisters? Am I going to take this great game and play with others? That's not the gifts we're talking about. We're talking rather about the giftedness that God has granted to each of us for His kingdom. So we'll be looking at the skills and the talents that God grows in each of us, whether they're natural talents or whether they're the spiritual gifts that we are given. But before we dig into there, we want to make sure that we have a foundation for what God's Word tells us about stewardship as a whole, and then we'll also dig into what it says about gifts. So first, we encourage that all of us that call faith our home on Sunday mornings, that we're looking to memorize a few truths from God's Word about stewardship. So let's start. Okay, a little bit of participation here. So the definition, stewardship is God-given, I heard it, responsibility with accountability. That's right. So stewardship is so much more than just how we handle our finances. It's so much more than a conversation about biblical giving. We're called to bring these principles into effect in all the parts of our lives because we know that based on His Word, Psalm 24 tells us that earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. And this is where we get our first factor in stewardship that says God owns everything, you own nothing. 1 Corinthians 4 tells us, what do you have that you did not receive? Because I'm incapable of creating anything for myself. It had to come from somewhere. And we know that it all comes from God. God gave you what you have. You didn't get it for yourself. And hence the second factor. God entrusts you with everything that you have. But it's more than just what God gives you, because then we might think, well, God gave it to me, so now I get to choose how I'm going to use it. No, the key word here is entrust. Entrust means God has decided to give each of you a portion of what belongs to Him. It's still His. And so we have to choose how we're going to steward it. So for each of us, God hands us, and He hand chooses exactly what He has entrusted to you, and then you can either increase it or diminish what God has given you. And He wants us to increase it. And just as one simple example, when it comes to art, I don't know that I would call myself gifted in this area, but when my daughter Malia was 9 years old, we went back to Minnesota so that she could be a part of her cousin's wedding. I knew there was going to be a lot of time where she was going to be waiting, so I decided I was going to teach her how to draw characters. Well, this is what it looked like. Now, I would tell you, if you asked me to draw a picture of you, what you would find is you might look a lot like this when I'm done drawing you. But my daughter Malia said she wanted to steward that gift and increase what God has given her. And so over the years since then, she has continued to work on her art. And so now it looks more something like this. Now, thankfully, she's worked through that to grow that gift. And I just use that as one example because every one of us has been entrusted with a host of different abilities, talents, finances, time, strength. God calls us to steward it all. He wants us to increase our gifts. And lastly, then we have to remember that it's responsibility with accountability. God can call us into account at any time. And it might be today. So since it might be today, let's take a little time and let's dig in a little bit deeper and learn. So today we're going to study the stewardship of gifts. So I want you to turn with me into the Bible, into the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. Now we're going to start at verse 10. So since we're jumping into the middle of the passage, well, sometimes I have to remember, does everyone have 1 Peter chapters 1, 2, and 3 completely memorized so that you know exactly where Peter's coming from? I didn't either. So let's take a look at it and say, where is our starting point? Well, first, Peter assumes that we know two things. Peter assumes that every Christian is gifted by God to accomplish certain things in his church. The Bible teaches that God specifically gives gifts to his children at the time when they place their faith and trust in him for their salvation. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 5 says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills." So the Bible teaches that one role of the Holy Spirit is to distribute gifts to God's people. This means that every single one of you that has placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ has received a gift from him so that you have been equipped to help the church grow and mature. And we are each called to steward what he has given us. Now I need to stop for a moment and make sure I talk to those who maybe haven't made that decision. If there's not a time in your life where you know that you know that you know that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and you've trusted your life unto him, well then there's still a far greater question today that needs to be looked at before we start talking about spiritual gifts. The most important matter at hand is the acknowledgement of our sin, repenting of that sin, and then placing our trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation. That's a question that it's too urgent to let go. And so if you still have questions in that, don't walk away today. Find one of us, one of our pastors. There's nothing we would love more. We'd drop everything to help you walk through that conversation. But for our passage today, Peter is writing to the followers of Christ. So the first matter is knowing that you have been gifted by God to accomplish the ministry of the church. And each one of us has been gifted in a way that God created us. By his grace, he has entrusted to each of us natural talents. By his grace, he even allowed us to use those gifts, some of those gifts, before we were saved. And we're called to steward them even after we are saved. And then additionally, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 12, each believer is also given spiritual gifts at the time of salvation. You see, there are four main passages in the New Testament about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 is the largest of those passages, along with Romans 12, 3 to 8, Ephesians 4, 7 to 16, and our passage today, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. in each of those, it provides a list and examples, not an exhaustive list, but examples of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to God's children. And we have to look at those and ask, how are we called to steward them for God? Now, it might come in natural gifts. So, for example, think about an elementary teacher who doesn't know Christ. They can be an excellent elementary teacher, and they can grow and do wondrous things in that. But then they come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And after that, we have to ask ourselves, those same natural talents, does God call them to steward them as part of His kingdom? Should they use them on Sunday morning as part of children's ministry? I would argue that's a resounding yes. Or let's look at what might be considered off of the list of spiritual gifts. For example, I believe that my wife has been given the gifts of compassion and discernment. And so she has to make a choice. Is she going to take those and say, well, thank you, I'll keep them for myself? No, but she's stewarding those gifts in the area of biblical counseling. It gives her the opportunity to show deep compassion for people who are hurting and suffering. And at the same time, the discernment to see the truths of God's word that need to be told, even when sometimes they don't want to be heard. And so knowing that every Christian is gifted by God to accomplish certain things in His church, Peter also assumes that we understand the way that he wants us to minister. Now, here's the problem, folks. You might have noticed there's no formula, there's no checklist in God's word, no spiritual gift test that he gives us to just look at and say, check, 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 yep, there's my spiritual gifts. But yet, there's a clear expectation in God's word that we will use those gifts. Not fair, is it? God wants me to use them, but he hasn't given me the checklist in God's word to tell me exactly how to know what those gifts are. How am I supposed to figure it out? How does God want me to serve in the body? Well, I want to offer to you, there's a simple start. Look around you, see a need, fill the need. If we're walking through that, yes, I'm saying there's a discovery phase in the growing the gifts that God has given you. Sometimes that discovery phase is going to show you ways that God doesn't call you to serve. And at other times, he's going to show you very clearly that he is calling you to serve in ways that you would have never imagined and maybe even not chosen for yourself. And so if you're in that discovery phase of gifts, I want to ask you, I want to encourage you to start by trying all different types of ministries. It might be as simple as saying, I'm going to serve in the living nativity. Men, most of us would look at that and say, well, that's not my spiritual gifting. I can't go putting on a dress and go walk around and look like I'm from Jerusalem or something. That's not my gifting. But that's what God's calling us to do, is maybe step out of our comfort zone and take on those gifts and try something new. Serve in the living nativity. Serve with Christmas for Everyone. Serve here at the community center. Ask your NBG leader, can I just be in charge of hospitality? And in all of it, just jump in humbly. Jump in humbly and see where the Lord wants you to serve. And if it's not in that place, he'll make it clear to you. But I do want to caution you that just because it might feel a little bit uncomfortable at first, that's not how God says, this is not where I want you. He may want to stretch you in that way. So let's get to the passage then. Finally, you say. But all of that was needed so that we'd have a basic foundation as we walk in and we understand this first verse that Peter is going to have for us. So if you will, join me in 1 Peter 4, starting at verse 10. It says, as each one, okay, that's all of us, as each one has received a spiritual gift. That means he's talking to followers of Christ. So that has already happened for you if you have placed your faith and trust in him. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so with that foundation, looking at God's word, we're going to consider four truths to properly steward our gifts. So let's start with the first one. The first one's really simple. I'm going to say it's our moment, okay? His first call is, we are to use the gifts that we've been given. Seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? Because once we've used the gifts and we've determined how God's gifted us, we're supposed to just take those gifts and then we stick them in the sock drawer and we never have to look at them again, right? No, I agree with you. The parable of the talents may be more about finances and physical terms, but the principle still applies here. We are not called to just take the talents and the gifts that God's given us and just bury them. Do you remember the response the master gave to the one who hid the money in the ground? You wicked and lazy slave. That same principle applies to our gifts. We can't just take them, tuck them in the sock drawer, and never look at them again. We are called to use them. Romans 12 says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Just as Peter assumes, Paul in Romans calls us to use our gifts, to exercise them accordingly. Both Peter and Paul are highlighting different ways that people serve and are used by the Lord, and the message in all of it is very clear. If God has equipped you for teaching, you have to teach. If God's equipped you as an exhorter, even though it may be uncomfortable, you have to exhort. If God's equipped you to be a giver, then give liberally. And if he's equipped you to be a mercy giver, do so cheerfully. This is why it's absolutely critical that no member of faith would look at the ministry here and say that it's okay for 100% of the work to be done by just 10% of the people, or 20, even 50 or 75%. That's not the way God calls us to do it. Have you ever been in a place where they say, you know, 90% of the work gets done by only 10% of the people? It's probably a pretty grumbly workplace, isn't it? But God has a different way for his church. The Bible teaches that every believer in Jesus must be actively exercising their gifts. And so the only biblical formula is that 100% of the work is done by 100% of God's followers. So if you're not serving, I want to exhort you. And God's word just told me that I have to exhort. So I want to exhort you. Do not hide your gifts underneath a layer of I'm just too busy, or I just don't feel I'm gifted in that. If you want to steward your gifts, you have to use them. You have to use your gifts. Let's push this understanding even a step further as we look at it, because sometimes we have to consider the popularity of people who are using their gifts in various areas. How about mercy people? You know, they're always coming and encouraging and giving mercy in cheerfulness. Well, who doesn't want to be around somebody like that? I mean, that way, you know, they're always encouraging. So I may have gained 25 pounds, but they're going to look at me and say, you know, Rod, that outfit makes you look good. But not so much the exhorter. Nobody wants to be around the exhorter because they have the discernment for truth, and God's put it upon their heart that they need to tell you in a kind and loving way, dude, I love you, but that diet you're on, it's not working. You may need to buy a new pair of pants. No exhorter ever got voted most popular in their high school yearbook. What about teachers? A gifted teacher, clearly popular. We want gifted teachers who can unpack God's word for us. It makes life so much easier when they can tell us what it is and that it just resonates with the way that we think. But what about leaders? The spiritual gift of leadership. You know, it's hard to exercise leadership. And yet, the Bible says we're to do so with diligence. But yet, leaders are given people that sometimes don't want to be led, whether that's in a small ministry or in a large. Think about Pastor Beyer's job over the last months while we've been walking through this pandemic. So he's got our whole staff on a video call, and so we're talking about the ministry and how we're going to serve our church and our community with excellence. And he's saying to us, guys, we're going to charge up that hill. We can do it with the strength of the Lord. Well, and then there's me on the other side of that phone call, and it's something more like this.
Darn thing. Come on, Russell, would you hurry it up?
I'm tired, and my knee hurts.
Which knee?
My elbow hurts, and I have to go to the bathroom.
I asked you about that 5 minutes ago.
Well, I didn't have to go then. I don't want to walk anymore. Can we stop?
Russell, if you don't hurry up, the tigers will eat you.
There's no tigers in South America. Zoology.
Oh, for the love of Pete. Go on into the bushes and do your business.
Okay, here, hold my stuff. I've always wanted to try this.
I'm not sure Steve's any more excited about dragging us up that ministry hill than Carl is about dragging Russell up the hill. But my point is that we're not called to do ministry for ourselves, certainly not for popularity or for what makes us feel good. We're called to use the gift that God has given us in a manner that glorifies His name. When Christ built His church, He had a plan for you at this time, and He has gifted you with everything you need to serve Him at this time and in this place. Because who am I to say, Lord, I don't want to do that. I want to serve over there where it looks fun and everybody is being told they're doing such great stuff, and I want to do that. So if I can't serve over there, I'm certainly not doing that. Remember, stewardship is a God-given responsibility. It's not a chosen responsibility. It also holds accountability. So whatever the Lord has chosen for you, stewardship is embracing that gift given and finding ways to exercise it. If you need help in discovering those gifts, discovering those areas where God is calling you to serve, please come and find one of your pastors. Find one of us. That's part of our job, is to help plug you in to serving opportunities. It might take us a couple of times to find the perfect place where God's gift matched the needs, and you're going to flourish and see what's going on. But let us help to help plug you into those spots. Now, so far we've seen, as it were, that each believer in Christ has been gifted a specific ministry package of gifts, and that the first thing we need to do is to use them. But then we also call us in how we use them. We need to use them and focus on benefiting others. Some of these are very clear. Dionys and the worship team, they are working and stewarding their gifts, and it's benefiting us every week. Well, those who lead may be more challenged because those who are following may not like where the leaders are taking them. And so we need to consider how ministry can be beneficial. Think about it. Without the leaders in this church, without Pastor Good and Dr. Bob Smith many, many years ago leading us towards a counseling ministry, we wouldn't have the opportunity to be a blessing to our community and to our church through that ministry. Without leaders taking down those paths, we wouldn't have a school. We wouldn't have a seminary that brings all these interns. We wouldn't have Faith West. We wouldn't have Vision of Hope. We wouldn't have Restoration. There would be no North End Community Center. Was the path hard and rocky to take us to those places? Yep. Did others say that it couldn't be done? They sure did. Did some people just pick up their ball and go home because they didn't like the direction that they were being led? Sadly, yes. But those leaders didn't lead to build up their own name. They led to serve others as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And in doing so, they opened the doors for all of us for even more meaningful serving opportunities for you and I in the body. They led so that we might have the chance to use our gifts at this time and in this place to benefit others. For myself, coming to the North End allowed me to discover gifts that I would have never imagined in the past. I wouldn't have thought of exhortation as a gift. But I've been here. I've had the chance to meet and get to know people of all walks of life. Folks, I get to hear stories about life circumstances that are hard, challenging circumstances where they're suffering. And it would be so easy just to look at that and say, I am so sorry for you. Can I pray with you? And then sometimes God puts on my heart a truth that needs to be told to challenge them so that they might see Christ in the midst of the suffering that's going on. And not everyone wants to hear that truth. But even in exhortation, I know that it's for good. And then there are areas that I struggle in mightily. God didn't gift me with a heart of mercy and grace needed to open the door to relationships with some of the young men that come to utilize this facility throughout the week. And I know that I need to continue working in that area. I need to continue to grow the gift that God has given me to serve there. But God also works in other ways. So instead, he sent Bob here, who has been gifted in mercy and grace and in giving in ways that benefits others, and he builds those relationships, and it benefits me because his ministries help grow my gifts as well. We need all of us to use our gifts to benefit others so that the fullest benefit of the ministry can be achieved. Now, all of that, then we have to ask, what's our motivation? Well, it comes from the manifold grace of God. The motivation does not come from within us. It doesn't even involve us other than we're the ones who receive the gifts. No, our gifts are part of the manifold grace of God. And so in other words, we don't deserve the gifts we've been given, but God gave them to us anyway. We're not worthy of the gifts we've received, yet God granted those to us because he had a plan. We have to remember that it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is the grace of God. Not as a result of works so that no one may boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The gifts that we receive are a part of his grace, his workmanship, so that we may do good. Our motivation to use our gifts draws right back to the work of Christ at the cross for the purpose of our salvation. So we've looked at stewardship. We've looked at two ways to steward our gifts so far. The first, just use them. The second, use them for the benefit of others. And next, we want to maximize our ministry potential. Now, when we look at this part of the verse, this is a really interesting portion of the passage because Peter didn't just use the phrase preach or teach. He used speak. So rather than by using whoever speaks, this call is much broader and applies to everyone who would use their words to share Christ. So if you believe that God has designed you to serve the body of Christ by using your voice, and I believe he has with all of us, then maximizing your potential involves the ability to speak more consistently what God says. It relates to the exhorters, to the teachers, to the encouragers. It involves pastors and NBG leaders. It involves the children's ministry teachers, counselors, mentors, disciples or disciplers. It involves every one of us as we're attempting to share Christ with others. It is your job to communicate the utterances of God. For me, I always have to remember, my goal is to share the word of God, not the word of Rod. And so to maximize our gifts, each one of us, so each kind of speaking opportunity may have different needs, whether it's depth of study or the type of presentation that we're making, even the amount of material that you discuss. But please, please see each opportunity as a chance to instill the word of God into someone else's life. Pastor Green has been teaching me, as he's been mentoring me in counseling, that I always have to remember that if God's word is not at the center of my counseling, it's not the ministry of the word. And so we remember that Romans calls us to exercise our gifts. In this case, maybe what we need is a workout. Maybe what we need is a routine so that we can maximize our gifts. So when it comes to learning the very utterances of God, that might come, your workout may involve reading a book about how to study the Bible. Maybe it's reading a commentary to dig deeper into a specific passage. Or maybe it's taking a class through Faith Community Institute next spring. Or maybe it's just digging deeper into the Bible passages that your NBG might be studying right now. And so if God wants you to use your voice to serve others, then please be diligent to ensure that the words that we speak reflect Him and not you. Then in the other areas of serving, we often think about gifts like mercy, help, leadership, giving, or hospitality. To do something with the strength of the Lord, that the strength of the Lord provides suggests an honest dependence on the Lord. It's not my service that automatically happens. It's because I'm serving dependent on Him to give me the strength to fulfill the ministry. And so when that happens, that means it's no longer a bravado coming from me, but a humble dependence upon Him. You can see that, let's say, with the gift of help. A person simply decides to go and help their neighbor by raking their leaves. We do that with the strength the Lord provides. Maybe it's cooking a meal for a friend. We can do that with the strength and energy that He provides for that task. Maybe it's for those who are leading. Dragging all the Russells requires a lot of strength and energy. Some people just don't want to be led. Energy can be hard to come by, and serving in ways that are beneficial to people can be exhausting. But we have to rely on the Lord's strength to keep moving in the right direction. And so maximizing your potential is all about the third stewardship factor, that God wants me to increase. And increasing does not necessarily mean just making more opportunities, but it's about taking the opportunities that we have and making them more effective. And that brings us to our final point this morning, to effectively steward your gifts. We are called to have a proper use, which brings glory to God through Christ. For any ministry to grow and be effective, this verse must be central. Whether you're leading a major ministry or whether you're just sharing Christ with your neighbor, the purpose in our heart matters more than all the rest. Because it's possible in ministry situations to do things for my own glory, for my own fame, because I'm more interested in speaking my words than God's, or more interested in boasting in my strength than relying on His. When we do so, we're serving up a recipe of failure in stewardship. Because He said, you can either increase or diminish the gifts God has given you. But when we use it for our glory, we're diminishing the gifts that He's given us. But when we are dedicated to doing our speaking using the utterances of God, when we are dedicating to using God's strength in our serving, there's nothing left for us to boast about other than God's word and God's strength. He's the one that makes the ministry possible. And in the result of that, we find that God is glorified through Jesus Christ, and Jesus in turn receives all the glory as He owns glory and receives the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So far this month, we've looked at stewarding our priorities. We've looked at stewarding our time. And now we've looked at stewarding gifts. And as we bring all these together, I hope that you'll choose to use your gifts to do so in a way that truly benefits others. I pray that you'll seek to maximize those gifts. And in doing so, take it to a ministry in a way that brings glory to the only one who deserves that glory. Because in stewarding all that God has entrusted us with, my prayer is that we would live a life, that we would walk each day knowing that in our final day when we are called and stand behind His side, that we could receive that prized welcome when He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before You. Lord, we thank You because You've given so much. Lord, You gave everything at the cross. Lord, and then You continue to give. You continue to give in all the gifts that You provided to us. And so, Father, I ask that You would use each one of us in a mighty way. Lord, help us, reveal to us the gifts that You have given that we might use them for Your kingdom. Lord, reveal the opportunities that we might be able to use those gifts in a way that benefits others and glorifies Your name. Lord, I pray that each day we would seek to steward all that You have given us. For Lord, we want to glorify Your name. We want to give You all the praise. Lord, we love You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.